Okay, folks, we're back. It's CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM, and you listen to the Agriculture Show here on April the 9th, 2013. And a big hello to our guests just going off, the weekly Trend and Fandom Show, and now today it's Jeff Steger, and you're listening to the Agriculture Show. And what a great show. We have our regular co-host, Barkley Knapp, here, and special guest today is Kelly Daynard. Hello, Kelly. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's great, and I'm glad you could make your way up here in this beautiful afternoon.
Well, it's practically old homework, because I went to Wilfrid Laurier University down the street, so this is like coming home for me.
That's just like coming home.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. That's good, because we're just glad to have you back in our studio here. Well, I guess it's the first time you're in our studio. That's right. So tell us a little bit about what you're bringing to us today. You're at Farm and Food Care.
Yep. So I am the communications manager for Farm and Food Care Ontario. Mm-hmm. We are an agricultural education organization. We are based out of Guelph, but we try to talk to the public on behalf of all of Ontario's farmers, trying to make farming a little less mysterious and explain what it is that goes on behind barn doors and in fields in Ontario.
Okay, that's great. And we're going to certainly talk about what's coming up, which is a great event coming forward here soon. I just have my cards here. Oh, here we go. Yeah, tell us about some of the websites, some of the www.
Some of our websites?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we always try to make farming a little less mysterious. Certainly in this day and age, less than 2% of Ontario's population come from farms, which makes farmers and farming very mysterious to the other 98%. They often don't know where to go to get information about food and farming. So one of the key things we try to do at Farm and Food Care is to try to find ways of making farming a lot less mysterious and find ways to make consumers have a place to get their questions answered. One of our most fun websites is at virtualfarmtours.ca. We've been working on that site for about 6 years, and we call it the Farm Tours Without Getting Your Boots Dirty. And on that virtualfarmtour.ca website, we have 23 real working Ontario farms. So you can click on any of those farms, go straight in, tour the buildings, see what the animals are eating, where they're living, what crops are growing, what fruits are blooming or developing in the orchards, and then click on video clips to meet those real working Ontario farmers and hear what they're doing on their farms and why they love doing it. And we get about 150,000 visitors a year to that website, hopefully more as a result of this show. That's virtualfarmtours.ca.
And so I'm just having a little fun time hooking up all my stuff here. Excuse me for scooting around here. Well, let Barkley jump in here once in a while. He's being inscrutable and sitting back, and we'll encourage him to be part of our conversation as well. I'm going to continue attempting hooking up these songs to get your songs to play. We always like to play the songs that our guests come out with, and so we'll get that going. So now, Barkley, we were involved in some connection with, like, Kelly's job is with the public to bring the news of farmers. There's agriculture to the public. And you had an experience with that, too. I remember you had a great story about, I think it was Premier Wynn. Was that a farm?
Oh, Ag 101.
Yeah.
Yes, put on by Perth Federation and the Welton Federation of Agriculture. They haven't done that since John Wilkinson lost his seat in Stratford, Perth there. But that was a chance for John Wilkinson to bring out his city cousins, as you call it, or city MPPs, out to the country to get a better look at what agriculture and rural affairs were all about. They'd come out in several buses, and we'd serve them brunch. The two federations, different commodity groups, and different interest groups, and then they would go tour about four or five farms, and they'd come back for dinner. We'd have several speeches and just interacting. Part of it was pairing them up with a farm couple or farm families, or if they brought their kids, pairing them up with some farm kids. So that way they could have someone one-on-one to kind of ask questions as they're going through the tour for. You're not always going to understand what it is you're seeing and why things are done a certain way. But if there's someone, you know, your age or you're comfortable with, you know, you're buddied with and you bond with, you're more likely to ask those questions. And like many of my professors said, there's no such thing as a dumb question.
We say there's only such thing as a dumb answer. And we do that a lot with farm and food care too. One of our biggest and most popular projects every year, we put media on buses in both the Toronto and Ottawa areas. We fill coach buses with Toronto media, Ottawa media, food writers, environmental specialists, professional recipe developers, etc. And we take them out to farms both in the spring and the fall to show them where their food comes from. Every tour focuses on a couple of different commodities. Our spring Toronto tour this year will have one livestock farm and one crop farm, both in the Milton area. And we find that those days are such great opportunities to talk about different issues in farming. Say they've heard a question about hens in cages, or about how dairy cows are raised. We can answer all of those questions and focus on a couple of key commodities. We also do the same thing every year with culinary colleges across Ontario. So putting future chef students on buses and taking them out to farms. So we found that these students, when they graduate, they'll be in some of our top hotels and restaurants in Ontario, but they don't have a clue where the product comes from that they've learned how to prepare in their test kitchens. So we put a couple of hundred students on buses every year, again, in different parts of Ontario. The culinary colleges can apply for a lottery system. Basically, we take six colleges and we'll do a full day program for those students, and we call them I Love My Job Days at Work, because you just see the realization in their eyes that they get it, and they see the passion that these farmers have for, say, a tomato in their greenhouse or the dairy goats in their barn. And at the end of the day, you know that these kids have developed a little bit of critical thinking and they've got a lot greater appreciation for the effort that goes into kind of the diverse range of Ontario's commodities, and those are just such rewarding days out for us.
Let's try a song here. I think I got something working. I found something on YouTube. It's Northern Plains by Alan Doyle. How did you come to hear about that song, and why do you like that one so much?
Well, Alan Doyle is the lead singer for Great Big Sea. I am one of the biggest Great Big Sea fans out there, and I follow Alan Doyle on Twitter. I was lucky enough last year to win free tickets to a private Alan Doyle concert in Toronto. There were only about 30 of us in the room, and when Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo came out to join him for this song, you could have just heard a pin drop in the room. So this song is called Northern Plains, and it's a duet by Alan Doyle and Jim Cuddy.
Okay, let's do that. We'll take a short break here. It's the Agricultural Show. We're here on CKMS 31.3 Sound FM, and we'll listen to Alan Doyle, Northern Plains. Cross our fingers. Okay, we're back, and it's the very CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. It's the Agriculture Show. It's your host, Jeff Steger, with my co-host, Barkley Knapp. Hi, Barkley. How are you?
G'day, Jeff.
Okay, you're a happy guy today.
Well, I'm not as sick as I was last week.
Oh, yeah, you were better than the weather last week, weren't you? What was the cure for that? Some of your good homegrown extracts from last year?
Just sleep.
Just sleep.
Just sleep. I still got a tickle in my throat, but I have my own voice back.
Well, that's the main thing, and you'll soon be getting ready for your next blast, aren't you, too, with the planting time coming up.
Well, I've already taken some root cuttings, got some seeds started indoors, and I was just down in Waterford yesterday talking about black mulch.
And the consensus was?
It looks really cool. It's just not easy to set up. You need machinery to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it does keep the weeds at bay, which is important.
So you and I have talked oftentimes on the show about getting a message out to agriculture, and we're glad to have Kelly here today talking about how to do that and what's the challenges. So, Kelly, when you're in your experience with talking with people, what is it that they really like about agriculture, and how do they get their message across? Like, it seems to me that most people do like talking to a farmer personally.
Absolutely. We do, at Farm and Food Care, we do focus group testing every 4 years just to take the pulse of Canadians and see what their questions are, whether they like farmers, whether they've got concerns about what we're doing on our land. And we just did our latest survey last August where we polled 1,200 Canadians coast to coast, and support for farming in this country has never been higher. People really love, buying local, getting their food from Ontario or Canadian farmers, and they especially love having opportunities to meet the farmers that are growing their food. So we need to look for every opportunity possible to try to make those connections between the farm and our consumers that are buying our products.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I suppose, from time to time, you have to speak to other groups. Just offhand, there's always it's a different can of worms when you're talking to press versus talking to the consumers. But you provide a great spot for consumers to get to talk to the farmer, and that's the main thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. In this last consumer attitude study last August, out of those 1,200 Canadians, only about 7% of them said they really knew anything about farming. The other 93% said they almost knew nothing. But of that group, about 80% said they really wanted to learn more or know more about where their food comes from. So that becomes the challenge then. How can we give them information? Mm-hmm. In a way that they can find it? And a lot of people don't have the opportunity to get out of the city and travel to farms or meet a farmer personally. So how do we make those connections is always our challenge.
And tell us a little bit about yourself, Kelly. We don't want to get too far ahead, but you're a farm girl, and you call Kitchener, well, the Waterloo region, I guess, or Guelph home. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you end up here on a Tuesday afternoon talking about agriculture.
Yeah, my path here has been kind of a twisted one. I am I'm a farm girl, very proud to say that. I was raised on a crop farm just between Guelph and Kitchener. My parents still farm that land. When I went to university, I thought and knew that I wanted to be a newspaper reporter. I wasn't all that interested in doing the farm thing at that point. So as I said, I came down the road here to Wilfrid Laurier University and started my career as a newspaper reporter just outside of Kitchener Waterloo here in a small town called New Hamburg. Mm-hmm. Found myself doing more and more of the farm writing and realized that was my passion, was covering those farm stories in rural Waterloo County. And from there realized that my career path was to be an agricultural communicator. So I've been in that field now for about the last 12 years, working at Farm and Food Care for the last 8.
And I think they're pretty glad to have you. And you can probably already speak to it. So what sort of changes have you noticed over the last, over your career of how they get the message out? I don't think there really was a whole lot of ag education, before this.
No, and certainly in days past, there wasn't a real need for a lot of ag education. As we become further and further removed from the farm, I mean, if you look at my case, in my grandparents' generation, all of my great-grand aunts and uncles and grandparents farmed. In my parents' generation, about half of my, my parents farm and about half of my aunts and uncles farm. Mm-hmm. And in my generation of my cousins, only 2 of my cousins are farmers. So I think that really shows those, my direct family, the distance that we're all getting away from farming. So there's a much greater need to tell the story now than there was a generation ago or even 15 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly find at Farm and Food Care that if we as farmers, as agriculture, don't tell the story, there's people who are and interest groups that are very interested in telling our stories for us, and they're certainly not supportive of agriculture, and they certainly don't have the background. So I guess if you have one motto of Farm and Food Care, it's that if you want to know where your food comes from, ask a farmer.
True. And, of course, you see, the technology changes like, oh my gosh, we're talking Twitter now and Facebook, and how are those new mediums working for getting a message out, do you think?
They're incredible opportunities. We actually ran a social media workshop last Tuesday night in Guelph for any farmer that wanted to attend, and we had 125 farmers show up to mm-hmm. that, just saying, we really want to learn how to use Twitter, how to use Facebook to tell our stories, and certainly a lot of these activist campaigns are hugely funded. They have millions and millions of dollars in donation funding annually, which is very different than small farm organizations in Ontario. But social media is the first chance we've ever had as agriculture to be on a level playing field with some of those activist groups and those special interest organizations. We can tell our stories through Twitter, through Facebook, 140 characters at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I know of one farmer in the Ottawa Valley that was sitting in a barn a few weeks ago waiting for a cow to calve, and he had nothing better to do except live tweet it. And he became a rock star that night, just sitting on a bale of hay in his barn waiting for this cow and talking about what he was doing, how he was waiting, what was happening, and then the exciting moment of the live birth afterwards. And the amount of people that started following him that night just showed that people are really interested in what we have to say.
Yeah, and that isn't something as simple in day-to-day as you find any farm, and that's that's big stuff, right? Something new, and even
absolutely
them, they see that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to try another song.
Okay.
My technical skills are, I've got one tuned up here. It's Born Country by Alabama.
Right.
Now, you got a little story behind that one. How is that one of your favorites?
A little bit of a story. So we, as I said, I'm a farm girl from way back, and kind of by happenstance, every one of my coworkers are also farm-born and raised and all equally passionate about it. So the words may be a little hokey and a little rural American for this setting, but I think everybody in our office is born country, and we're very proud of it.
Okay, let's play this. We'll be right back. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM. You can listen to us on www.soundfm, listen live, or on Box 946 on the Rogers Network, or if you're in the Kitchener Waterloo area, on the FM band at 100.3. We'll be right back.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. Light, and you here beside me, crickets serenading in the yard. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars? Now this is where I want to raise my kids, just the way my mom and daddy did. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country.
All right, I'm Kelly Daynard from Farm and Food Care Ontario, and you're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents primary farmers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that's emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Thanks for doing that. See, Barclay, you can do that nicely next time you try that. We'll give you a whirl at it again sometime. You made a violent attempt, but we need that nice, you know, voice like that, like Kelly's got for doing this job. I pick on Pat, right. On him. I shouldn't do that. I've been delighted to have Barclay in the studio for the last few months, and it's been great to have that second person. We have a little chat and do our thing. It's great. So we're talking about educating farmers and the public, all about the great things in agriculture, and maybe we could spend a bit more time on the immediate event coming up, and tell us a little, you know, the parts that you find are really good for communication, and what's special about this one. You know, this is different. This is actually going to be on a farm. That hasn't happened for a long time.
No, absolutely, and I can tell you this is breaking news, because this is the first place we've announced this venture.
Holy smokes.
Yet, so you've got late breaking news on your show today, Jeff. We for many years, we have been watching the Breakfast on the Farm program that has been going on in Michigan. They started it in about 2009, and the event has just had incredible success in Michigan. Last year, they hosted 8 Breakfast on the Farm events across Michigan, with attendance between 1,500 and 4,000 people at each event. So, with support from a major partner in Foodland, Ontario, we are launching Ontario's first Breakfast on the Farm program this year, this spring, June 22nd, 2013, just down the highway here in New Dundee, Ontario. And it's going to be a pilot project, a pilot Breakfast on the Farm project at a dairy farm run by the Johnson and Doré families. They are a 7th and 8th generation family farm. They milk about 60 cows on their farm. They have introduced a lot of innovations in their farm and in their barns that have to do with cow comfort and using a lot of environmental technologies on their farm, including composting. The event's completely free of charge, and we're hoping to have several thousand people out to that farm on June 22nd.
This sounds like a great event, and I know when we made announcement of it at our local directors meeting, the Federation of Agriculture, there was some excitement from our directors about this. You know, in the Waterloo region, we did actually, and I think many counties did, actually had farm tours for a while, and they developed their own difficulties, various issues around the health department, you name it, the crowd control, that sort of thing. But boy, do we we just remember how well it went over with people really visiting farms.
Absolutely. So the program will run from 9 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon. It's basically a self-guided farm tour. So you'll arrive at the farm, you'll get a complimentary, a free breakfast of all Ontario products. And we're very happy to have Egg Farmers of Ontario and the Ontario Apple Growers in as early partners in this program. And then you can take a walk around the farm and learn what's going on. We'll have people at different stations explaining what's going on there. And we also hope to have a lot of the other commodity groups in Ontario participating as well. So while you're on a dairy farm, you're going to be learning about all different types of farm animals and farm crops. And we just think the sky's the limit for a project like this. The Johnson and Doré families put in an application saying they'd really love to host our first ever event. We had other dairy farms in Ontario interested in doing this, and our vision would be if this one's a success and we fill out the place, that we'll have events across Ontario next year.
Oh, that sounds great. we should mention some of the websites here that people can go to. So I guess probably could first of all start off with this one, and then some of the other ones that maybe for people who want to tune in right now or look online or record them down. This is about food and agriculture in Ontario and the Food and Farm Food Care Group. So tell us a little bit about some URLs and other
sure.
new things.
Sure. So our corporate website for Farm and Food Care Ontario is www.farmfoodcare.org. On that site, you'll find links to a lot of different activities, farm fact sheets. If you're curious about how many chickens there are in this province or how an ostrich egg is laid, those sorts of trivia questions and a lot more about who we are. Our virtualfarmtour.ca website is the website where you can go to find all of those virtual farm tours I was talking about. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/farmfoodcare. There you can find all of the information on Breakfast on a Farm. And we are offering free tickets to this event, but we'd love to know if people are coming in advance or how many they're planning on bringing so that we can order the appropriate number of quantities of food. So certainly going to our Facebook page and downloading your free tickets would be a good start there. If you're interested in doing a lot of reading, we also have a couple of blogs where we accept guest posts from Ontario farmers. One is at caringfortheland.com, where we talk about a lot of the environmental initiatives happening on Ontario farms. And another one at letstalkfarmanimals.ca. where we talk about things going on livestock farms in this country and try to break down some of the stereotypes and myths there.
You know, there's a lot of stuff on the Farm Food Care website. I went down through some of the list, and lots of interesting technical stuff about how things are done on farm. I didn't do it justice to go through them all, but I got the sense that if you had some questions about what happens on the farm, you could find a good explanation there on those drop-down lists.
And if you can't, you hit the Contact Us button and ask us, and we get some really unusual questions in our office, and we pride ourselves on trying to find the answers to each and every one of them.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that, and look forward to that, folks. You've got the web addresses and the like, and come on up to the farm and check out what happens on the dairy farm, and you'll be just delighted and educated and have a great day, a great family day. So let's try another song here. I think I've got something working finally.
Okay.
I don't think your host is totally helpless at this thing, but he's getting there. And this is a rather unique recording you've brought along. This is, I'll let you tell us all about it. There's a bit of spoken word before it starts, but tell our listeners what they're listening to here.
So I think if you're a Canadian right now, every Canadian probably knows who Commander Chris Hadfield is. The sideline to that is he's also a farm boy from Ontario, raised on a farm outside of Milton. And I just think Chris has just done amazing things for the space industry and for social media. And I've been following his Twitter feed since he went up in the International Space Station, and he's doing a lot for space, like we try to do for agriculture, you know, trying to answer some of those questions like, how do you cook food in space? He had YouTube videos this week on how do you get your hair cut in space, something I had never thought of. But
that's true, there's bits are flying around.
Absolutely, but he does a whole YouTube video on how he got his hair cut up there. But he has about 632,000 followers, and he is just doing an amazing thing. He's a great ambassador for Canada, for the use of social media. Media and for the Space Program. And he teamed up with the Bare Naked Ladies, with Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies, a few weeks ago to do a duet. He's in space. Ed's obviously on ground. And they have a song called ISS for Is Someone Singing or International Space Station. And you hear them talking at the beginning. And if you have a chance, watch it on YouTube, because you can see the world going by behind Chris Hadfield's head as he's playing his gravity-less guitar. So that's this song.
Okay, we'll play that when we're back, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM, and it's a lovely April 9th, 2013. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the cupola. Ready to play a little music.
Indeed. Your scenery looks a little nicer than ours. Have you got everything you need? Do you have your trusty floating guitar pick with you? Excellent. Mine is subject to gravity. Yeah, I know. Yours matches your mission patch. Gleeks, are you guys ready to do this?
Yeah!
Chris, ready to go?
Yes, Ed, I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Solid fuel wires, turn the key and light the fire. We're leaving Earth today. This rocket's burning bright, we'll soon be out of sight and orbiting in space. Push back in my seat, look out my window, there goes home. That ball of shiny blue houses everybody anybody ever knew. So sing your song, I'm pissing out where stars are pissing. I can hear your voices bouncing off the moon. If you could see our nation from the International Space Station, you know why I want to get back soon. 18,000 miles an hour, fueled by science and solar power, the ocean's racing past. At half a thousand tons, 90 minutes moon to sun, a bullet can't go half this fast. Floating from my seat, look out my window, there goes home. That brilliant ball of blue is where I'm from and also where I'm going to. So sing your song, I'm listening. Out where stars are missing, I can hear your voices bouncing off the moon. If you could see our nation from the International Space Station, you know why I wanna get back soon. All black and white just fades to gray, where the sun rises 16 times a day. You can't make out borders from up here, just a spinning ball to fill a tiny atmosphere. Push back in my seat, look out my window, here comes home. What once was fueled by fear
now has 50 nations orbiting together here. So sing your song, I'm listening. Out there stars are glistening. I can hear your voices bouncing off the moon. If you could see our nation from the International Space Station, you know why I wanna get back soon. Or you know why I wanna get back soon. You know why I wanna get back soon. Yeah, you know why I wanna get back soon. Know why I want to get back soon.
This is, or I am, John Tutt from the Princess Cinemas in Uptown Waterloo, and you are listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, we're back, folks, and I think everything's working more or less as usual. And so we're just in the last segment of our show today, kind of a little bit of a wrap-up. Barclay had mentioned a little bit about an experience you just heard on the radio the day about agriculture in the news. What was that about?
Well, I turned on AM570 talk radio yesterday, and there was a lady talking about protests that were planned for today in regards to genetically modified alfalfa.
And so it, this is a 10-minute segment, 15-minute segment?
I think I came in partway through it, so the host actually took some calls in regards to it and had tried to get his listeners to call in regards to, you know, GMO / organic / non-GMO debate and try to stir up some trouble, you know, just to get everyone interested in listening.
And so they obviously those people are interested in the topic, but you never know where it's going to go on a radio show like that, do you?
No, you never know who's going to call in. You never know what's going to say. You can only screen so much.
So, but you've had experience with people asking about agriculture with your business too. Were these people's questions kind of sort of along the same line as what you experienced when you explained to people about what you do?
Well, when I'm at the farmer's market, the most questions I get is, how do I grow things? My yard doesn't grow things. I don't quite get people asking me about pesticides or fertilizers. Usually, you know, one customer that I remember the most is she was quite upset that I had better oregano than what she grew. And she kept walking around and coming back to me and even grabbing and fondling my oregano, trying to figure out how I could grow better oregano than her. So I don't necessarily get the pesticide or fertilizer questions.
Okay, but I get that. I hate to have people talk about your oregano too much. It's just scary, isn't it? But in general, you know that people do have questions about agriculture, and it comes out in when people ask you the questions, they're not normally they're looking for answers. They're not accusational. And I see Kelly nodding ahead that this is the problem. Is that I think from an education point, we know people want to know, but they come. What is that antagonism there? That it's just that people just don't know and they're afraid.
I don't think a lot of it's not antagonism. It's a lot of it is just a fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. So once they latch onto somebody and know that that person has a little bit of information or can point them in the right direction, I find in my career the antagonistic people are such a tiny percentage that but for the most part people are just really curious. When they meet somebody, that mysterious farmer or a person working in the farm industry, they've saved up all of the questions that they've read for months, and I joke that we're, you know, when we work in agriculture, we're on duty 24/7. I've had interesting conversations at, you know, community events. I've had them in airport shuttles. I've had them, you know, sitting at the airport. support. I've had them at grocery stores. When you hear a conversation going on that you know you've got answers for, I tend to jump in. And, you know, the airport shuttle example, when I was on my way to a meeting in a farm meeting, and I was catching a plane early one morning, and the woman beside me asked what I did for a living, and I said I work for Ontario's farmers, and the first words out of her mouth were, "Well, isn't it a shame what's happened to Ontario's farms?" And it was about 4:30 in the morning, and I said, "Well, you know, what do you specifically mean?" And she said, "Well, that they're all factory farms now." So you know what? We had a really great conversation all the way to the airport about 98% of Ontario's farms still being family-owned and run, and, you know, multi-generations. You know, the family that are doing our breakfast on the farm are 7th and 8th generation. Anyway, I felt like it was time well spent, and, you know, it was a great conversation, and she left feeling a lot better about our sector. So
one person at a time. If you could just kind of distill the essential points and how that flowed, you'd have a great. Well, you probably know it by heart by now, but there was lessons to be learned within that conversation with her, wasn't there?
Absolutely, and certainly taking every chance we've got. So if it's talking to one newspaper reporter who reaches 3,000 people through a weekly paper or the Toronto Star, you treat them equally because every reader is a person reached.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense, and that's why this upcoming event here is going to be just a great time, because it's going to be on the farm. Who else will be there? Like, will a bunch of milk producers be there?
Yeah. So obviously it's on a dairy farm, so there'll be a huge milk focus. And as I said, Egg Farmers of Ontario are a logical connection with the eggs for the breakfast. And we're certainly reaching out now to all of the other commodity boards. Those were the two key ones, obviously, to start. Oh, and Ontario Apple Growers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And Foodland Ontario will be there. And I think it'll just be an amazing day and give people a little bit of information out about a lot of different sectors of agriculture.
So, Barclay, you'll take notes from Kelly here on how to talk to your customers at the farmers market.
Well, I used to take notes from her sister as well, mentor me in 4-H. So, it's always great to listen to someone who has a different take on experiences.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't matter, as Kelly said. You know, there's a lot of half myths and half truths out there about agriculture, and you have to listen to it in order to understand the question, and sometimes they don't even know how to state the question.
Mm-hmm.
I found that out when I was working for a farm lobby group. You sometimes had to dig deeper to find out what it was they were really trying to say that their focus on. Sometimes they just don't know the lingo or the background in order to ask it. But spending that time, like Kelly said, to educate, it's very important. And if I can just throw a little bit more in, I'm on Twitter as well, and I think it was Foodland Ontario that kind of sent out a message about 2 weeks ago, you know, how do you support agriculture? And my tweet back to them was, well, I take the time to educate and to talk to people, whoever asks questions.
Yep.
And maybe 2 hours later, I got a retweet, and that retweet was from the Premier. And that just made my whole evening. Just, you know, the Premier, you know, just, I only met her once,
yeah.
But still, she wouldn't know who I am, but still, also her understanding that education is important.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, there's great initiatives on her part. We'll see how this all works out. It's an ongoing political deal, but we, Kelly, you may never know, Premier might even show up for some of these things. I don't know, but she's really making an effort.
She's invited to breakfast on the farm.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
We'll see if she shows up.
Holy smokes. Yeah, you're going to hear first on CKMS Radio on the agriculture show. That's awesome. Jeepers.
Were you wanting to do it live?
Well, you know, I barely can run this thing here, never mind trucking around with a bunch of microphones and stuff, but, you know, clearly it's technically as possible, you know, it'd be a really hoot. When is that, next Tuesday? Wouldn't that be fun?
What, breakfast on the farm?
Yeah, I mean,
June 22nd.
Oh, that's a ways away. Yeah. Well, maybe we can still figure out something.
Yeah. Just after first cut.
True.
Well, and that's why we're having it at that point, exactly.
Talking about first cut, you know, I was downtown here this morning talking to listening to the presentation anti-GMO and alfalfa, and saw a person there I knew, and they said, well, by the way, what is alfalfa anyway? So how in the world can, you know, he really wants to know if this is a good or bad thing, but I wonder what he would doesn't need to be changed his mind, but it could still, I think, probably have better questions or know what they're asking for when it comes to GMO alfalfa if he knew what it was and what the purpose was and what's trying to be accomplished. It's really it was sort of sympathetic with the public. I know we're all bombarded by so many things. How do you keep up with it? But at least agriculture's out there in the spotlight now.
We always say at Farm and Food Care that it's a lot easier to be against something than for something. True. And when you're for something, you have to have your information and your facts in your back pocket. And we have to know what we're talking about. And it's a lot easier to be against something and show up to a protest, even if you don't know what alfalfa is.
Now, Owen Roberts wrote a column here last week in the paper, and he suggested that the farmers ought to get out and actually do their own spokesperson. On the other side of the coin, just for what you're saying, you had this whole preparation, anxiety around, you know, will I say the right thing? How do we resolve that? How can we make it, how can we assist farmers without doing a whole lot of PR stuff, just to be able to speak in their native, in their natural voice about things? And you know the anxiety, if you don't know what to say, you get your tongue-tied. And
as I said, we've been doing things like running social media workshops, trying to show farmers how to use Twitter and Facebook to tell their stories. We do a little bit of work at Farm and Food Care called Speak Up Team Training, so putting on workshops for farmers who are interested in telling their stories but may not know how to, you know, use terminology that the average non-farm consumer would understand.
Yeah.
So we'll do workshops for them on how to explain what they're doing in a way that, you know, somebody that's not scientifically inclined or has a degree in agriculture would understand. And certainly just trying to give them the tools. We've got a lot of fact sheets on our website that if they're getting questions about things like organic versus conventional, that they can take them and answer questions. Yeah, and we've been doing a lot of ag ambassador training for students at, say, the University of Guelph or Kempville College or Ridgetown College, you know, those future young farmers, ag advocates.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can put in a really quick plug, there's also another new initiative that was just launched last week. If you go to dinnerstartshere.ca, we've got a group of young farmers in Ontario. They're all under 30, and they've taken on the challenge of telling their stories from a young farmer perspective. We just unveiled the team at our annual meeting last week, and it's a group of really dynamic, enthusiastic young farmers from all parts of the province that are going to do just that, try to tell their story using various social media channels.
Yeah, oh, through social media as well. Okay.
Twitter, Facebook, dinnerstartshere.ca blog, and I just think the sky's the limit when you look at a group of enthusiastic young farmers who are already using tools like social media to reach out.
Well, you should send them our way. We had the junior farmers on here, and that's they're media savvy, and they were able to retweet a bunch of that stuff and get that out there, which is
There's a couple of them from Waterloo County, so I think they'd be great people on this show at some point.
Yeah, sitting right here, You know, I love doing this show, but you know, I start saying starting to sound the same all the time, so I need to have some fresh voices in here.
Yeah,
hint,
great.
Barkley, hint, hint.
I'll make a suggestion next meeting.
Oh, you're the best, as usual. So we're just about the last bit of our show here. We'll just play one more song before we do a final outro, if you've got another couple of minutes. And if we'll remember anything we forgot to talk about in the first bit. So.
Perfect.
All right, we'll play Beans and Cornbread by Mr. Jordan, Louis Jordan.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans said to cornbread, I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans
told cornbread, you ain't straight.
Beans.
You better wake up or I'll gas you gate.
Beans.
Been in this pot since 2:30.
Beans.
Swelling and puffing and almost due.
I'll be ready, I'll be ready cornbread tomorrow night.
Beans. That's what Beans told cornbread.
Beans.
You're always getting mad at me.
Beans.
I ain't mad at you.
Cornbread.
I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Beans.
Grab cornbread by the toe.
Beans
said,
cornbread, let me go. Bing. Cornbread said, I'll lay you low. Bing. I'm gonna fight you, you so and so.
Meet me on the corner. Meet me on the corner with my dad.
That's what Bing said, cornbread. You're so bad, you always want to fight. Meet me on the corner with my dad. And I'm gonna beat the devil out of you.
Cornbread said, I'm almost dead. Bing. Beans told Cornbread, get up, man. Bing. You know that we go hand in hand.
Beans and Cornbread, Beans and Cornbread, hand in hand.
Beans. That's what Beans said to Cornbread. We should stick together hand in hand. We should hang out together like wieners and sauerkraut. We should stick together like hot dogs and mustard. We should get up every morning and hang out together like sisters and brothers.
Yeah.
Every Saturday night, we should hang out like chitlins and potato salad.
Yeah.
Like strawberry and shortcake.
Yeah.
Like corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah.
Like liver and onions.
Yeah.
Like red beans and rice.
Yeah.
Like bagel and lox.
Yeah.
Like sour cream and Benson.
Yeah.
Like bread and butter.
Yeah.
Like hotcakes and molasses.
Yeah.
Beans, toast, cornbread.
Yeah.
It makes no difference what you think about me.
Yeah.
But it makes a whole lot of difference what I think about you.
Yeah.
We should hang out together like hotcakes and molasses.
Yeah.
That's what beans say to cornbread. Cause beans and cornbread, they go hand in hand.
Hi, this is Sean Dunnett from Dumfries Service Company. You're listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 103 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, so that's a guest we had last 2 weeks ago, I think it was, Sean was on, and today it's been Kelly Daynard, and thanks again for coming out, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
Any last words? We're going to talk one more time about the big do coming up.
Yeah, so I would just love for everybody to put Saturday, June 22nd, 2013 into their calendars and plan on visiting with their families that morning to Heritage Hills Farms at New Dundee, Ontario. It'll be a morning event, 9 till 1. We'd love to know if you're coming in advance, so go to facebook.com/farmfoodcare to download your free tickets to the event and plan on spending a morning on a local farm.
That's great, and thanks so much for the song selection. Always fun to hear those. I love the Chris Hatfield one. That's pretty
That's
pretty
fun. Thanks.
Yeah, that was a hoot. And you're busy then. You have a few more projects on the go before this comes up. Your ongoing activities at Farm Food Care probably include... do you get involved like in Food Freedom Day?
We're not that involved. That's really a Canadian Federation of Agriculture, Ontario Federation of Agriculture event, but we certainly promote it every way we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, folks, your food supply is safe, and if you want to know more about how that happens, you need just go over to farmfoodcare.org and find out and chat with Kelly and others who work up there. And that'll leave just me and Barkley here to hold down the fort till we get some more customers, I guess, or some more visitors. So thanks for tuning in today, folks. This has been episode 46, and this is the Agriculture Show. Us here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM in Kitchener-Waterloo, your best community radio station. And we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.